Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Much love and many thanks to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey, he's in New York City. You, I don't know where you're at, but I appreciate you being here. Thank you to everybody at work, leaving work, getting to the money, going to their families, whatever you're doing. Thank you for tuning in. I'll be holding it down for the next 3 hours. This show gets started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. You can always listen on the free Odyssey app. You can lock in on your local affiliate wherever you might live. SiriusXM channel 158 for my people spending that money. And if you got a smart speaker, ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. We talk football. We talk basketball. In a few minutes, we're going to talk some baseball. Major League trade deadline is tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern. And by the time we start this show, well, I guess 12 teams in the playoffs, everybody's a buyer except for the White Sox because they absolutely suck. We'll get into that momentarily. Chris Perkins is going to join us from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. He's coming through in about 20 minutes. I want to dive a little bit deeper into Tua Tagovailoa and his contract. Maybe Chris feels more optimistic than I do when it comes down to these Miami Dolphins and what they'll be able to do. Dawn Staley had some words on Caitlin Clark. I think I mentioned to you last hour that Jaylen Brown has some words for Grant Hill. I think he's doing too much. This guy's never going to play on the Olympics at this point. Not as long as Grant Hill is running him. Anyway, we'll get into Dak and his contract. Patrick Mahomes had some words about all these other dudes making all this money. Guys like Jordan Love and Tua Tagovailoa. So we got a lot to discuss here over the next several hours. You want to participate in the show? It's simple. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I'm on the internet. I'm everywhere. Don't do this if you're driving. Don't text and drive. But I'm everywhere at JR Sport Brief. It's at JR Sport Brief all over the place on social media. So we're less than 24 hours away from the Major League Baseball trade deadline. Now that we have everybody and their mother getting into the postseason for baseball, we have less teams that are pretty much willing to just sell off everything. You really got to be absolute trash. No hope. None. To start trading away your assets. Because you never know how it's going to go. I mean, who the hell thought the Arizona Diamondbacks were going to be in the postseason last year? Forget the postseason. Who the hell thought that they were going to be representing the National League in the World Series? Who would have thought that the Rangers would have been there? The only guy I think would have told you that he's, well, he actually took money to go there. He's the only dude that thought the Rangers were pretty good. Hickey, is he even healthy yet? What's his name?
No, sir, unfortunately.
Oh, my God. What's the guy, 6'5", long hair, he cut his hair, what's his name? Oh, my God.
Jacob DeGrom.
He still hasn't played. At least when he left, he said that he thought the Rangers were going to be good, and they were good, and he didn't even play. He was a cheerleader on his side.
He got that part right, at least.
Yeah, it's just going to be 2 years before. Anyway, at least the Rangers won a World Series. And he did, too. Congratulations. Contributed nothing. Anyway, you never know how things are going to turn out with modern baseball. The trade deadline is tomorrow. We got teams who are all of a sudden going on four-game winning streaks thinking that, hey, well, this is going to be the factor of us staying in or not. Pretty bad. I mean, look, we got San Francisco. This is a team that is sub-500 right now, 53-55. They're on a four-game winning streak. They're trying to figure out whether or not they want to trade Blake Snell because they might go on some type of magical run. But we did have a trade that took place earlier today, and you just got to scratch your head just a little bit, not because of any of this. Well, one team in particular. The Cardinals get Eric Fetty and Tommy Pham. The Dodgers, they get some more pop in the outfield and Tommy Edman. They also pick up Michael Kopech. They get Oliver Gonzalez. And you can thank the Chicago White Sox for this, because they are absolute trash. It's actually bad. I feel bad for all of my friends who actually love the White Sox on the south side of Chicago. The Sox stink, and they are historically bad right now. Yesterday, they played Seattle. They lost 6-3. They are now 27-81 on the season. Let me say that again. They are 27-81. And at that point, who the hell wants to show up to work? Nobody. Like, the mood has to be terrible, and they're selling away some of their best players. And one of the other best players in Crochet, the pitcher, who's an all-star, this is his first year as a starter. This guy is just like, I don't want to be traded anywhere unless they give me a new contract. And the White Sox are like, yo, bro, what are you doing? You screwing things up for us. It's bad on the South Side. You know what? Let's listen to this from yesterday. NBC Sports Chicago.
Lift it in the air to left, and this could do it. Rosarena is there, and that's your ball game. It's the White Sox falling to the Mariners 6-3, getting swept in this three-game series and now tying their season high. It is now 14 losses in a row.
Oh, my God. The New York Mets got started in 1962. They were a brand-new team at that point. The Chicago White Sox are on the same pace as an expansion team in the 60s. This is terrible. The White Sox lost 22 of their first 25 games. They've had more than one 14-game losing streak. And now they're just selling off the world and selling what they can. And for a team playing in one of the biggest cities on this side of Earth, this is bad. But the fact that I can't say the fact that they're allowed to exist. Hickey, I don't want to see anybody be this. I feel it's bad for the sport, man.
I would agree. I mean, you've had the A's in the past have kind of similar track records of just being awful, but this is a new 27-81. Like, I can't even wrap my head around that. That is unbelievably bad.
Yeah.
Pathetically bad.
This is like, when I think about some of the worst, like, teams, I'm just historically, right? I'm thinking Lions have been real bad, like, not winning a game. I think about the Tigers in Detroit just being pitiful and awful. Could you imagine going to work knowing that your chance of winning is slim? I mean, at that point, you just show up to collect a check, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah. There's no, I don't care how old you are, how young you are. If you're a White Sox player, there's no joy going to that stadium. How can there be?
I don't know. It's just, but then the fans, and you know, you're picking up all these prospects, and it comes to a point where it's just like, who cares? Like, who cares about a prospect? A prospect is a prospect. You never know what they're going to end up doing. And then if you look up and down the standings, like, every team is past 30 wins at minimum. The Colorado Rockies are bad. They have 38 wins. The Marlins have 39. The Oakland Athletics, who are soon to not even be in Oakland, they got 44 wins. Toronto Blue Jays, the worst team in the American League East, they got 49 wins. Chicago White Sox, they got 27. That's pathetic. A 14-game losing streak. They have been outscored by 218 runs. Why bother showing up to work? And it doesn't appear at all that things are going to change over the next several years at all. Unless they just get really, really lucky. I feel bad, man. Hick, you ever root for a team that was this bad?
I mean, not this bad. I've watched plenty of Mets seasons that have gone in the toilet. Not ones where, I mean, I was just doing the math. They're on pace to win 42 games this year. 42. Like, you've had some bad years in baseball where teams win 50, and it's just like, oh, this is just putrid. 42 games? I no. Thankfully, I've never seen anything this bad, and I hope I never see anything close to this bad ever in my life.
You know, if we think about baseball from the 1900s up until now, we're talking about 125 years. Most of our listeners are only going to remember the New York Mets. 1962, the New York Mets only had 40 wins. If we go to 2003, the Detroit Tigers had 43 wins. In 1952, the Pittsburgh Pirates had 42. The Baltimore Orioles had 47 wins in 2018, so maybe there's a silver lining for you if you want to find one. The Tigers, couple of seasons ago in 2019, they also had 47 wins. And so it is very rare to have a team be this bad. A 14-game losing streak? Multiple 14-game losing streaks? And to think about the Chicago Cubs on the north side that are already beloved, and you're the also-ran on the south side? That's tough. There've been so many conversations about, you know, moving the Sox and getting them to a better stadium, a better situation. I've done work with the White Sox in the past, hosting and video stuff, and I like them. I got no problem with them at all. But this is bad for the fans who are there. And I know there might be certain fans that know this name. Jerry Reinsdorf. Jerry Reinsdorf is the boss of the White Sox. He's their owner. This is the same Jerry Reinsdorf who you probably know, more known, as the owner of the Chicago Bulls. Okay? And the Chicago Bulls have had some dumbass decisions over the past few years. Like, I don't know, Lonzo Ball. Or even worse, Zach LaVine. They don't know whether or not they want to compete or rebuild or what they want to do. They're just skating along. Dare I say, if they didn't end up with Michael Jordan, they probably wouldn't have anything worth a damn. Michael Jordan should get paid more money just for what he did for the Chicago Bulls back in the 90s, because this team was crap. You know, Jerry Reinsdorf is probably moving into the space, dare I say, of being one of the worst owners in sports. He's 88 years old. I'm just saying, I know he's heavily involved in baseball operations. He should probably move on out the way. Hickey, I feel so bad. I feel ageist when I start talking about the Mike Browns and the Jerry Reinsdorfs of the world. But am I wrong? I feel like they get to a certain age. What are they doing? Like, I feel like they're so disconnected from the players that are on the field, anything that they're interested in. They have more of an understanding of what I'm watching and the fans. I can imagine they're falling asleep in meetings. They're listening to management. Management is just kissing their ass because they want to check. But some of these old owners just seem to not get out. Hire somebody, man. Hire somebody.
That's the problem. They don't want to seize control. They think they know best. Like you said, part of it is never really having anyone around them to check them, to tell them, hey, this is not a good idea. We should probably not do this. You could have saved the whole hassle of hiring Tony La Russa and that disaster. But
fell asleep in the dugout. Oh, my God. The guy hired a guy who fell asleep in a dugout. Why did he hire him? Because he's old. And he's like, hey, this is a Hall of Famer, and he's free. Let's hire him. There's a reason why he's retired. What are you doing?
At least they were competitive back, somewhat competitive. I mean,
Hickey, I'm sorry. I cannot say a team is competitive when their manager is falling asleep in the dugout.
Competitive compared to this team.
Could you imagine Bill Belichick saying, you know what, guys, I'm just going to take a seat for a minute, and falling asleep? Could you imagine that?
He's on the bench.
Yeah. Just
goes into the injury tent to lay down.
Yeah, it's a timeout. He just goes and lay down. Could you imagine Doc Rivers sitting down while a game is going on in the fourth quarter and crossing his legs and just nodding off? Like,
Coach,
come on.
We need to play here. Oh. Game's still going on?
They're so intense, and they're so that's like me falling asleep while I'm on the air. It's impossible. My brain is firing off so many different thoughts and ideas. You have to be so sharp and so into it to be a manager, to be a coach. Every moment is life or death. This man is falling asleep. Yeah. You want to know who hired him? The same guy who owns the White Sox today, who was on a historically bad pace to be one of the worst teams ever. Get Jerry Reinsdorf out of there. And I hate saying that because he's not going anywhere. There's only one way that he's going to go anywhere, and it's not by choice. I feel bad for the White Sox fans. They might as well trade the whole team. It's a Triple-A squad. Are you worse than the A's? It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, let's not talk about this miserable-ass team. Let's talk about the Dolphins, because they should be good, right? Tua got all that money. Chris Perkins is going to join us from the Sun Sentinel. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Last week, we saw some big deals get handed out to some quarterbacks. Jordan Love got his money, and Tua Tagovailoa got his. About $53 million per year. The last time we saw Tua Tagovailoa on a football field, it was an L up in Kansas City. There's going to be some big expectations for this man moving forward. To talk about this deal, what it means for Tua, what it means for the Dolphins, what they can do this upcoming season, it's time to have a chat with someone who covers the squad, columnist for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. It's Chris Perkins. Chris, how are you, man? Thank you for the time.
Hey, JR, man. I'm glad we can talk some football and not dollar figures here. Although we're about to talk some dollar figures, I have a feeling with Tua, but, you know, we can still talk some football mostly. I like it.
Yeah, it's always – listen, we know the NFL is big business. Tua happy that they showed him the money. When he got the deal, $53 million as an overall, what were your initial thoughts when the news came down the pipe?
I'm happy for Tua, and I'm happy that the Dolphins got the deal done. Now, my situation all along has been I'd have had Tua play the season on his fifth-year option. I still have things that I would like to see from Tua. Number one, I want to see that he can stay healthy for, you know, 17 games. That might be unrealistic. Maybe 15 games. Quarterbacks go down nowadays. I want to see that he can stay healthy for a second consecutive season. And number two, I want to see that there's some magic to Tua, right? Like, I want to see some Patrick Mahomes-type magic, some Josh Allen-type magic. And I'm not talking about winning a Super Bowl necessarily. I'm talking about moving the offense on second and four, on third and one, even in the second quarter, not just the last second, you know, dropping bombs like he did against Baltimore a couple of years ago in that 28-point fourth quarter, but just keep the offense moving throughout the game. Give the offense a lot more confidence in you. Give the defense reason to fear you. And then the third thing that I would like to see is I would like to see Tua win a playoff game because, look, with all this talent, there's no reason that this team shouldn't have won a playoff game. I know they've had injuries, and I know Tua wasn't there 2 years ago for that playoff game that they lost in Buffalo 34-31. Mike McDaniel shares some blame in this, but Tua is the quarterback. His name gets on it. I'd like to see him win a playoff game.
Chris Perkins is joining us here from the Sun Sentinel. You talk about Tua winning a playoff game and taking that next step. I'm still kind of racking my brain around the fact that last year during the offseason, like Tua had to tell everybody, yes, I had to contemplate retirement and think about my future. We fast forward almost 12 months or less. He has this gigantic deal. We also saw that he gained weight to try to stay healthy, and now he's lost weight. What are your thoughts on his physical transformation and well-being?
You know, the weight loss and the weight gain, I don't have a problem with. The weight gain was in an effort to prevent the concussions that he had sustained in 2022. Two diagnosed concussions, another, you know, episode where his head banged on the ground that, you know, who knows whether it was or not. But the bottom line is that was a whiplash effect from being tackled. He took the jujitsu lessons. They taught him chin to the chest. Don't have that, you know, whiplash effect. And we think that it worked, right? He didn't have a concussion last season. Now he's I think the jujitsu was a bigger factor than the weight gain. Now we see the weight loss, and that's probably and Tua has mentioned this. He hasn't said it directly. It's probably in an effort to improve his agility and mobility because Tua does not move very well, and especially with that weight, he didn't move very well. A little bit we've seen indications in training camp that the weight loss has helped his agility and mobility. And I'll say agility means east-west for this purpose, and mobility means going north. He's not going to go north a whole lot, not a whole lot of mobility because of the concussion, but he has looked a little more agile. So, look, and I'll say this also, JR, you know, quarterbacks nowadays, they get paid more on FOMO, right? Fear of missing out. Mm-hmm. The team just doesn't want to strike out. Yeah, he hasn't won playoff games, Tua, Justin Herbert, but we don't want to miss out. We'll give him this money and we'll figure it out later. I think Tua is an excellent quarterback. He's a legit Pro Bowler. I think we know who Tua is from the last two seasons, right? He's a 2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio guy. He's not going to lead you there, but if you give him talent, he can help get you there. I think that's what Tua is, and I think that's why he got paid this money.
Well, Chris, we see all the speed demons that he plays with out there on the field. Tyreek Hill, Waddle, Odell is now in. He has a big target up the middle in Jonnu Smith. What do you think this offense can do? Are we going to see more 70-point outbursts? Maybe not that, but what can we look forward to?
Well, here's what I think, JR, and I get pounded on social media, as I'm sure you've seen, for bringing this up. But look, this Dolphins offense, I've got to see more from them. Last year, you know, they were number one in the league in total offense, number two in the league in points per game at 29.2, okay? Last year, this team went 9-1 against non-playoff teams, 1-6 against playoff teams, including the loss to Kansas City in the wild card, right? In those seven games against playoff teams, they averaged 16 points per game. So that's one thing. They don't beat good teams. Number two, over the last 2 years, they're 4-10 in December and January games. So I need to see this offense be productive when it matters against good teams. I think that's the next step for this offense, and that's when I say I would like to see some magic from Tua. And look, Mike McDaniel, as a head coach and as a young play caller, he plays a role in this. Tyreek Hill has had some drops in some big games. He plays a role in this. But this offense, as exciting and dynamic as it is, it doesn't come through in the big moments against the big opponents in the big game. So I think that's what I would like to see from this offense is, you know, prove that you can do it against the big boys, and then we can talk about winning playoff games and going beyond that.
Chris Perkins is here, the JR Sport Brief Show. He represents the Sun Sentinel. There's so much attention made to the offense, and certainly you think about the names and some of the contracts have been allocated there. There's some names on the defense. The Dolphins' defense doesn't get a lot of attention. Jalen Ramsey, you don't hear a lot about him. Now, Jordan Poyer is now in the building. You get an old veteran in Calais Campbell. Jalen Phillips, and we don't know if he's healthy. What are your thoughts on this defense?
You know, here's the thing about the defense. You're right. That offense finished number one in the league last year, but the defense finished number 10 under Vic Fangio. Now, you know, Fangio is gone. He went to Philly, and now they have Anthony Weaver, who was the former defensive line coach and assistant head coach in Baltimore. Anthony Weaver is going to bring in a more diverse, more exciting defense. Vic Fangio kept them kind of playing back in some zone defense. They didn't blitz a whole lot. You know, we're going to see that change with Anthony Weaver, that they're going to be a lot more man-to-man. They're going to be a lot more multiple. They're going to play a lot of different things. You know, Baltimore played some three safety looks last year. I expect that Weaver will bring that here. Jalen Ramsey last year, and here's some appreciation for that defense, you know, with Fangio last year. Jalen Ramsey, you remember, missed the first seven games. And then late in the season, you lose the edge rushers, Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips to injuries. You lost your linebacker, Jerome Baker. Xavier Howard at corner was in and out. Javon Holland was in and out, but they still finished number 10 in the league. I they lost a lot of personnel, but under Weaver and with some of the returning personnel, they do have a chance to be a top half of the league defense, JR. I don't know if they're going to finish 10 again. A big thing is, when do the edge rushers, Jalen Phillips, who had the Achilles injury, and Bradley Chubb, who had the knee injury, when do they return? The hope is that both of them are back before the bye, which I believe is week 6 for the Dolphins. But, you know, they need to get some guys healthy. They need to blend in a lot of new faces. That defense lost a lot of personnel, starting with Christian Wilkins, the defensive lineman who went to Las Vegas. Andrew Van Ginkle, who had 6.5 sacks, is in Minnesota. They didn't bring back Xavier Howard. So they've got some holes to fill, but I do think this could be a top half of the league defense.
Well, all things considered, Chris, we know that the New England Patriots are trying to rebuild. The New York Jets should be competitive if their quarterback is healthy. And the same thing for the Buffalo Bills, despite some of the talent that they've lost. How do the Dolphins fit in? I mean, should we expect a wild card appearance? What do you expect from the team as constructed this season?
They got to scrap. They got to fight for it because, look, you know, Buffalo, we know that Stephon Diggs is not there, but Buffalo dominates these dudes. I think they've won 13 of the last 15 against the Dolphins. I think off the top of my head, I think Josh Allen is 10-2 against them. They dominate the Dolphins. So, you know, the Dolphins have a hill to climb against Buffalo, who, by the way, is their week 2 opponent here at home, but on a Thursday night. So who knows? It should be to the Dolphins' advantage. Buffalo travels on a short week, but, you know, Buffalo dominates them. Then we look at the Jets. If Aaron Rodgers is close to the old Aaron Rodgers, right, he's got Garrett Wilson out there at wide receiver and Breece Hall at running back and that great defense, they're going to be tough to beat. And look, I told you that the Dolphins are 4-10 in December and January. That's when they played the Jets both games this year in December and January. They're late games. And so, you know, that doesn't really favor the Dolphins. If you get the good Aaron Rodgers at the time that the Dolphins don't play well, that doesn't favor the Dolphins. So if you look at those things, the Dolphins are already behind the Jets and the Bills. Will this division get three teams in the playoffs? I doubt it. So I've got to see a little bit more from the Dolphins. I like what the Dolphins have, JR, but I've got to see them do it against the good teams at the biggest time of the year.
Yeah, it looks like we might get some of the same old, same old. Would you dare say, would you be shocked if they didn't even make the postseason?
I would be mildly shocked, yeah. I would, but, you know, they got to get Chubb and Phillips back for that pass rush early in the season because, look, you start off at home against Jacksonville and then at home against Buffalo, but that's two tough AFC opponents for tiebreaker purposes. And, if you lose both of those games and if you don't have that pass rush, you know, against those two quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence and Josh Allen, it puts you in a hole. Hopefully they don't miss the playoffs because I like covering playoff teams, JR. It's all about me. Forget about everybody else. It's all about me. I hope they make the playoffs, but we got to watch the injuries, which have also dogged this team late in the season the last 2 years.
Hey, speaking of all about you, this guy on the team, he's made it all about his quarterback. That's Tyreek Hill. He's been an advocate for Tua Tagovailoa getting paid in a way that you typically don't hear from anybody being an advocate for anybody to get paid. People stay out of it. What happens now that Tua's got paid? What does Tyreek do? Is he still expecting to get a boost? Like, he's also getting older. What are your thoughts?
Oh, JR, they got to pay Tyreek. Look, I say that Tyreek is not only the best player on this team, and that's with all due respect to Jalen Ramsey and Calais Campbell, who the three of them are probably future Hall of Famers, but Tyreek is not only the best player on this team, he's the most important player on this team, more important than Tua. And I think that you have to turn your attention, if you're the Dolphins, to Tyreek and his contract now that Tua's locked up, because I don't want to have Tua here without Tyreek. That's just the way it goes. I mean, Tyreek is the man on this team. He's the man on this offense. If he's not happy, you've got a problem. He said that he wants to be paid among the top five receivers in the league. He's probably going to drop out after, CeeDee Lamb gets his deal done. We'll wait and see. And Ja'Marr Chase also, we'll wait and see. But, you know, you need to make sure that you have Tyreek around here for the duration of the Tua years. That's how I look at it. So, to me, Tyreek is not going to lose a step. He's 30 years old. He's built like a tank. You see what this man does on the field. They've got to make sure that Tyreek is going to be around as long as Tua is around.
Yeah, no doubt. The guy, he raced a horse, literally. Hey, Chris, where can people find you and all of your work with the Sun Sentinel?
At sunsentinel.com. You can catch my podcast at noon on sunsentinel.com, Dolphins Deep Dive with Perk. And I'm on X, formerly known as Twitter. We always got to say that, right? Formerly known as Twitter, at Chris Pert.
Hey, Chris, we appreciate the time, and I hope the Dolphins go to the playoffs for your sake, okay?
There we go, JR. I got you converted, baby. All right, have me back anytime, man.
No doubt about it. That Chris Perkins covering the Dolphins for the Sun Sentinel. Thank you so much to Chris. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, we'll talk about the other quarterback in the AFC East, or at least one of them. That's Aaron Rodgers. He spoke to the media today, and he also spoke to his players. And let's just say he was not a happy camper with some of their practice habits. Yes, we'll hear from that and talk about that on the other side.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
The JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I need you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Say thank you so much to Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel for joining us in the last break as he talked about Tua Tagovailoa. And, man, I feel like we pretty much said the same thing before he joined. Tua's good, but he's not good enough. Like, he's okay. And the fact that he was able to bring up Josh Allen's record against the Dolphins and Tua since he's been there, 1-6. 1-6 against the Bills for Tua. That's bad. Like they're a finesse team, and I gotta be careful how I say this. The Dolphins are like hanging out with someone that is all style and no substance. That's it. That's it. Like, it looks nice, it's good, it's great, but when it's time to show up and actually, like, take a deep dive into anything, it's just like, hello, anybody home? The Dolphins just, they're not, they come off as finesse. They don't come across as tough. And dare I say that, I'm not playing in the NFL. I'm not taking shots. I'm not physically beat up and bruised, so I'm not insulting the Miami Dolphins and what they do. Is they're not tough. Oh, yeah, they're tougher than I am. But in the scope of the NFL, I don't look at these Dolphins and feel like they're going to out-tough anybody. When the going gets tough, when it gets cold, when they have to go north, which is everywhere they have to go, you can't go further south than Miami, they lose. That's just the facts of it all. Good luck to the Dolphins. Congratulations to Tua. Now we just wait to see what happens with Tyreek Hill. 855-212-4227. It's 855-212-4227. You know, we talked about the other team in the AFC East, or one of the other ones. Nobody's talking about them damn Patriots. Unless you're thinking about Judon and his contract. He's upset. Aaron Rodgers was upset. Chewing out his team for practice and how lackadaisical and not sharp that they were. Aaron Rodgers was not happy. One of his tight ends, Tyler Conklin, he actually said, I appreciate Aaron Rodgers chewing us out today. Listen to this.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the beauty of playing with, you know, a great like that, right? Like, you have someone that's going to, at all times, hold everybody accountable, no matter who you are, what happens. And I think that's kind of been something that's, you know, not every team has that, not everybody. So, I mean, I think that's really a blessing at the end of the day, to be able to have someone that cares that much and, you know, has a standard like that, that's going to, you know, that becomes our standard as a team. But to have a Hall of Famer that's won a Super Bowl, been there, done that, you know, I think that really is, I mean, it's necessary.
Hickey, I got a question. Who yells at Aaron Rodgers when he sucks?
Nobody. the fans, actually. The fans do. That's it.
Oh, my
Nobody
God.
Nobody in that building.
Like, will Rob Saleh have anything critical to say to him? He will ask him. Like, he'll ask him things. But Rob Saleh at no point is just going to go, he's not going to say you need to do better or you did poor. No, that's not going to happen, right? Am I right in that saying that?
You are 1,000,000% right. Whether it's okay to the media or to Rodgers himself, he will never say, hey, we need you to play better.
Wow. Aaron, I'm trying to think if there's another player in the NFL right now who has as much power in an organization outside of him. And it's hard for me to think that. I'm going down the list. Like, if Andy Reid is not happy with Mahomes, I could see Andy Reid telling the best player in the league, hey, you screwed up. And I could see Patrick Mahomes going, yeah, coach, I know. Thank you. I got it. If I think about Josh Allen, I could see McDermott just kind of walking up to him and maybe saying, hey, you know, you got it. He's like, yeah, I know the turn. I get it. Okay. I don't think we'll see a sign at all one time this season. We won't see it on the field. It's even trying to imagine it feels foreign. Rob Saleh walks up to Aaron Rodgers following an interception and says, what? Nothing. New York Jets are going to be fun this year. I hope Aaron Rodgers is healthy. I hope he is. I'm going to see him yelling at people and not getting yelled back. Anyway, he spoke to the NFL Network. And maybe, just maybe, we'll see more of Aaron Rodgers, let's say, for the next 2 years. This is what he had to tell him.
2 days ago, you gave an interview where you said you didn't know how much longer you want to play, that you wanted to have 2 good years with the Jets, maybe try to win 2 Super Bowls. Does that mean 2 more? Or does last year count as one? Could this be the last season for you?
I would say that there's a lot of sentiment that last year wasn't a great year for me. So I'd like to still have 2 great years.
Okay. Hickey, I think the Jets will get into the playoffs as a wild card, be eliminated, And I think everybody comes back next year for one more round.
So you're buying what Rodgers is saying. Two more years, next year being the last dance.
I think so. Because I think the New York Jets, and this is all on him. And we saw how he held up. He's now a year older, coming off a major surgery that can't be discounted. The guy had to have his Achilles readjusted. I don't care if it was a zip tie surgery or they used a hatchet. The guy's 40 years old. If he stands upright, I think they're good enough to get into the playoffs. Would you say so?
I'm not sold, no.
Damn. Even if they're healthy?
Even if they're healthy.
Wow. Damn. You see the New York Jets just crashing and burning.
No, I mean, they were competitive last year at times, so like I don't think they're going to have four wins. I'm just not sold right now. Rodgers coming back. Number one, can stay healthy behind that offensive line. And number two, can play at an MVP level. Like, obviously, last year's a lost year, but even the year before that in 2022, not like he was playing at a very high level. Not like he finished that year strong and, you know, led the Packers to the playoffs. They lost at home to end the season. So it's like, how good can he even be now at this point of his career?
A bad Aaron Rodgers season would be good for the Jets. Okay? His last season. No, I'm serious. His last season. I'm looking at it. 26 touchdowns to 12 interceptions. You want to tell me the New York Jets wouldn't sign up for that? Come on. That would be one of the best seasons that a New York Jet has had in, I don't even know, what, 25 years?
And that is true, but also very sad.
My apologies to Brett Favre. But outside of Brett Favre, who threw any of those type of numbers? Vinny Testaverde? I mean, come on now. Sheesh.
Hey, Chad Pennington had like a year.
A year? Chad Pennington couldn't throw the ball 10 yards. Come on. Yeah. Brett, oh my God. Yeah, he went on a binge at the end. Brett Favre, one season with the Jets, 22 touchdowns, 22 interceptions. Yeah. It was Vinny Testaverde, folks. It was a very, very long time. These Rodgers is yelling at the people. Nobody yelling him back. It's the JR Sportbrief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. Speaking of people yelling at each other, Jaylen Brown not afraid to yell at Grant Hill? Grant Hill don't bother anybody. What's the beef? I'll explain. The Infinity Sports Network, JR Sportbrief Show.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.